It's all set.
We're back in at 6:07.
I didn't hear you. Can you say it again?
Item number six, communications. Copies of the monthly statistic reports from the fire departments, fire marshal, police, animal control, and the building official.
I've just got one comment on that. In the future, would it be possible that we as a commission have all these documents, especially from the fire departments, in hand no later than 24 hours prior to this meeting? I mean, sometimes we don't get them until the day before, the evening before, the afternoon before, and I think it would be better if we had them a couple days before to digest them and review them and whatever, so.
I can ask them. We try to get them to get them in as soon as possible.
I send them as soon as I get them.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
That's why you get them.
I'll send them a note asking them to submit them.
No, this is not
3 days prior.
Any toward you, Karen. It's just, you know, if this information is available earlier, I'd like to see it earlier. That way, you know, we have time.
I could send something out as well.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Item seven, to consider an act on a motion to approve the minutes of the regular minute meetings of July 22nd, 2024.
Motion.
Motion made. Is there a second?
Second. And I have some comments.
Any discussion?
Yep. I got some corrections. When you're ready, Barbara. Got a few corrections. Item number nine, remarks from department heads. We have talk in there about that Norwich, it says Police Chief John Perry. Instead of Police Chief, that should be Captain John Perry. And I did confirm that with Chief Blanchett tonight to make sure that it was correct. I had a couple other ones. Let me find them here. Not major stuff, minor stuff. Under item 11, remarks from the chief. Fire chiefs, the last sentence, I believe it says, it only sows discord. I would assume that word should be shows discord. On page 8 of 12, under 12, subsection B, about the radio sections, radio communication system upgrades, it's a comment that I had made. It says, the last sentence, whether additional funding is available to append to existing funds in the budget. I don't know what append would be. I don't know what the correct word would that should be there, but I don't think it was appends. I would think supplement maybe existing funds, but I don't think it was appends. So, item 13, new business. On page 9 of 12, under subsection B, about two-thirds of the way down in that paragraph, we talk about the replacement for Montville's pumper. It says the fire marshal asked, due to the new motor, the fire marshal asked to have the commission approve the apparatus. It should be the fire chief asked that it be approved. Further down in the next motion section, midway down through the paragraph, it has M13, which should be M12, and then a couple sentences after that, it says M13 again, which should be M12. Under page 10 of 12, four or five sentences down, it says that Commissioner Baker reported Chief Turner designed the new truck to fit there, and the word and should be town's fire service needs. Let me think. I thought I had one more, but let me just check it. And I think that was it. Thank you.
Can I just say something? I've done this in the past, too, and whenever I looked over the minutes and I questioned, I just emailed Gloria on the side saying, Gloria, this is what the number was, not that, or something like that. And she would fix it, so at least I'd have a copy to look at when we came to the meeting. Can you just email her all that?
Sure.
That would help out a lot, because then I can see what all the changes were.
Sure.
Thank you.
That's all I have. Thank you, Gloria.
Is there a second on making those revisions?
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Need a motion now to approve as amended?
So moved.
Second.
Motion been made. Any further, and second, any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Carried. Item number 8, remarks from the public, agenda items only for 3 minutes. Item number 8, remarks from the public, agenda items only. Last call. Seeing none, we'll move on. Number 9, remarks from department heads. Good evening, Lieutenant Radford.
Dave Radford, Lieutenant Montville Police. The Town of Montville Office of Animal Control stats for the month of July for the Town of Montville. We had 15 animals impounded. Year to date is going to be the same, so I'm just going to read the stats. Number of animals sold as pets is 2. Number of animals DOA was 1. Number of animals euthanized was 1. Total complaints investigated were 79. Total animal bites were investigated are 3. Total enforcement action was 2, for a total other calls of service was 57 for the Town of Montville. For the Town of Salem for July, we had 2 animals impounded and 3 total animal complaints investigated. Real quick, I just wanted to mention to the commission that the radio discussion and the money that we were looking for, the upgrade for dispatch, did move forward, and the council did approve it. So we are in the midst of going through the state hoops and ordering the equipment needed to upgrade dispatch to help accommodate the 800 band for the fire departments, as well as the rest of the town. I have some positive correspondence from Mutual Aid to surrounding towns. 3 letters I'm going to read. The first one's from Waterford Police Department. Chief Blanchett, on August 10th, 2024, the Town of Waterford held its annual Waterford Day Parade. This event is one of the town's largest as far as mass gatherings and provides unique challenges in managing public safety. On behalf of the Waterford Police Department, I requested a partial deployment of the Regional Special Response Team for observation points and quick responsibilities. This development was requested to ensure the safety of those attending and participating in the event. The Montville Police Department, under your leadership, provided Officer Cuckle as part of the deployment. The Montville officer was well prepared, professional, and instrumental to the overall success of the event. I value the relationship our agencies have and want to thank you and your department for assisting us in this respect. Chief Mark Balastrassi. The next one is from East Lyme Police Department. Dear Chief Blanchett, I wanted to sincerely thank you for your assistance in answering the call of Mutual Aid officers to the Town of East Lyme for the annual Celebrate East Lyme Day 2024. As you are aware, countless planning goes into this event, with security measures being a top priority. One of our goals is to maintain a safe environment for the vendors and over 20,000 citizens that attend this event. We cannot satisfactorily meet this goal without your assistance. Officer Lindsay Michaels stepped right into her role without hesitation and was very professional. Again, your support is greatly appreciated by the East Lyme Police Department and the community. I look forward to working with you again in the future. Respectfully, Chief Michael Masick. And the final one is from East Lyme as well. Chief Blanchett, I want to extend my sincere appreciation and thank you for the assistance your dispatchers provided to the Town of East Lyme on 8/16/2024 at 13:34 hours. With their alertness in overhearing a radio transmission from our dispatch center to our officers on the road about an individual with a gun, they jumped onto our frequency and immediately relayed valuable information to our responding officers. Following the transmission, I spoke directly with your dispatcher via telephonic conversation. I received further information about Montville Police Department's recent calls for service with this individual over the past 2 days. I was able to relay further information to our dispatchers and responding officers. Your dispatcher's alertness and quick response resulted in teamwork and a successful resolution to a call for service, which could have been inherently dangerous. A job well done. Excuse me, well done. Again, Chief Masick, and that's referring to Dispatcher Jaskowitz, who's the one that took that call. That's all I have.
How did the DWI check thing go over the weekend?
We our checkpoint is this Friday.
Oh, this Friday. This Friday. Oh, I thought it was this past Friday.
Yes.
Thank you, Jenna. Good evening, Paul.
Good evening. Paul Barnes, Fire Marshal. I sent out an updated Fire Marshal activity report. I hope everybody got it. For the month of July, Fire Marshal's office conducted 35 business and apartment inspections for a total of 191 individual inspections and re-inspections. That includes every single apartment and every single apartment building that we inspected during that month. We had zero fire investigations in July. The deputy fire marshal responded to 23 incidents. I was requested 3 times. We issued 8 burn permits. We had no illegal burns and 4 construction project inspections. Did a total of 6 hours on emergency management obligations.
Busy month. Thank you. Any other department heads? Committee liaison reports. Reports from the fire department liaison, Commissioner Perkins.
I emailed the reports that I received from the fire departments to you, to the commission members. Also, I'm starting on a new report that I'm getting from dispatch. It is the fire activity report, and I have the numbers for July 1st through July 31st, and there were 35 calls of fire. EMS calls, there were 227. And to break that down with the EMS calls as follows, 214 were in town, or actually the fire, EMS calls in town of Montville. 7 were the town assisting out of town, and we requested 6 mutual aid calls. It's just a report that we're gonna start working on, and I will report this at every monthly meeting of the fire activity. I'll talk to the chiefs. I know they're sending their reports as well. I think it would, since I'm already getting the numbers directly with dispatch, I'd like to see that the firehouses submit a report of what goes on at the firehouse. I know, and Keith, you're here, and that's the only reason why I'm saying it. I know you say you guys do a lot of training and a lot of activities at the firehouse. I think that should be something to be reported. I can report the activity, but I don't know what actually goes on at Oakdale or Montville or Chesterfield or Mohegan. So I can send out an email to all the chiefs if you guys, if that's okay, just to see what report goes on at the firehouses. And I will report these numbers every month. I will meet with dispatch monthly. I just started that today, just to get a feel and idea of how the reports run. And I will come back with more and more information as every month from them. Unless you guys are looking for something else for me to report. I think this is a start. I think it will show what really goes on in the town of Montville, and we need to know how many calls are being answered, how many calls that are not being answered, not that that's happening, how many times we're going out of town, and how many times we're requesting people to come in and help if we're that busy. And maybe the data there will show whether or not we need to hire more. That's upper management on that one. So that's what I'm going to be working on.
I have only one comment, and that is that as far as reports go, we need to get numbers of people. How many are being in, how many are involved in going on calls in particular, but also in all the other activities?
I think that's because we had Chief Truix stand up here saying that a lot of you guys do a lot of training and your people, sure, like we're in the firehouse doing this and that. I report it so we can report it to me so then I can report it to everybody else. I mean, you're not going to get real numbers. You're going to get the real numbers right off of dispatch. It's a report. It's, and I'm just breaking it all down for everybody. I can get more detailed with it if that's what we want.
And I think that's been the whole idea is we get reports. It's not a one-shot deal. It's a work in progress. Every month is going to change, so let's get the numbers. I mean, that's what we need to, to make sure budgets are being done right. And as you said, maybe we have to look at hiring more.
So but, are you saying that you would like to see a report that shows the paid people taking the calls or the volunteers on the calls?
I think it's appropriate to have all that information. I don't see any problem with not providing that information. It just gives us more. I mean, we do a lot of things that need money, and it's hard to justify and approve things or recommend approval of things if you don't have all the information.
So this is just something that obviously I just started this month, got my numbers for July. As we start going on in the months, we'll just build and get more information to add to the report. It was once said that, and I'm sorry, I just really love this, one town, one team. I like that quote. I think we all should work together. And that is all I have at the moment.
Like, I think the report that you just handed out tonight, I like it. I like the information that we're getting off of it. My opinion is I think that one of the big calls that we need to know about is when we are calling a mutual aid town into Montville to cover us on calls that we are not able to handle. We have paid guys at work. They handle the calls that are coming in. When they are on another call, and they're busy and they're out of town, when we have to call Salem, Eastline, Norwich, the tribe, whoever we call for mutual aid, I think that's your true barometer of how many times you don't have coverage in your stations from the volunteers. I think that's how you can get a true numbers by looking at what is being called in to cover Montville because everybody else is tied up.
So how would you determine... I understand what you're saying. How many is too many calling in for out-of-town assist? Is one too many? 12?
I don't know.
I think
the only way to know is to know the number. I don't know.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I get it. It's we have our own right now, and now we're asking for mutual aid to come in to help.
Yep.
I'm honestly asking, how many is enough? I don't know. Is one too many asking for help?
I don't know that. I don't know that number. I guess it would depend. You know, is it a lift assist because somebody came home from the hospital and needs to be lifted back up into their house, or is it a heart attack? Mm-hmm. That minute matters.
Okay.
But I don't know what that number is. I have no idea how many times that we are calling in outside towns to cover us when our paid staff is out and then no volunteers are responding. That is a number I would like to know.
Well, if we have six right now.
But you don't know what those six are.
So that's what's important then. It's we have six mutual aid assists coming into town. We want to know why they're coming.
Right. Was it an ambulance call? Was it a tanker? Was it a brush fire? Was it a structure fire where the tanker task force was called in?
I believe that, those are all for... I believe they are all for EMS, but I will definitely check
out. Okay, yeah, that's important.
So that's what I was saying. Let's just say they're all EMS. Let's just say they are all heart attacks. One too many?
No.
What's too many?
I don't know. I don't think one is. In the history of the town of Montville, this happened to us 25 years ago, and it's happening to us today, the same number. There's going to be times when our paid staff are slammed.
Right.
And they are just back to back to back to back to back to back. And in that, when they're doing their back to back, there's going to be that one call where there's nobody able to get out, and that's when we call mutual aid. That's what they're there for. That's what we signed an agreement for. As well as the town of Montville went 7 times out of town to assist other people last month. Mm-hmm. Now, were those 7 all ambulance? I don't know. I'd like to know if it was ambulance, tankers, you know, an engine for coverage.
And then who? Whether do you care whether it was paid or volunteer?
I think, listen, if the problem I have with, and I'm going to state the same thing that I said the last time. The problem that I have with the number about reporting is because the two paid firefighters are responding to calls, there is no incentive for a single EMT, if that may be available during the day, to go to that call. Because he's not going on the ambulance because those two guys have to go together.
And let's say I agree, you're right. Well, then they don't come out. So that means the paid people are doing it.
Yeah, the paid, that's what we hire them for.
And that's not, that is their job. But this is about really getting the numbers out there to say, hey, these guys need more guaranteed. So a guaranteed is another paid person. Is that correct? Guaranteed, or is that wrong?
No, that's not. You don't know that until we find out how many calls are not being answered. That's the whole thing. I don't know that.
It's the people that are responding and the type of incident and the time of day. Those are the key ones.
And to piggyback on what Commissioner Murphy said, I think there is some misunderstanding about the definition of mutual aid. I've heard it used two ways in these meetings. One way it's heard, which I think, in my mind, being a past fire chief, is when you call mutual aid, that's an out-of-town company coming in to assist you because you have a major incident that you need assistance with.
Correct.
Not because Oakdale is out on an ambulance call, so Mohegan comes in to take a backup call somewhere. That's not mutual aid.
Excuse me, I'll stop you right there. I totally understand that. I did get educated on that, and those are not in my numbers. So my numbers that I reported, it didn't say whether it was Oakdale, Montville, Chesterfield. It was the town of Montville people. So we didn't really care if it was the different firehouses at this point with those numbers. The mutual aid in my report are literally mutual aid, someone coming from out of town, not one of the four firehouses.
And again, that's why I talked to you earlier. I said when we talked earlier, this report that you're getting from the town, from dispatch, is great. And it's just something that we can add on to it. What these calls were, what they were for. It's just a matter of pushing the right keystroke. They have it all on the computer. It should be able to print out all the information that we need other than how many volunteers are responding. That's the only number you're not going to get a true number on because I know, if you listen to the radio, that when there are two guys on at a fire station, most of the time, nobody goes because the one guy that may be home or the two people that may be home, they're not going to go on the call.
And I understand that because that's the job of the paid firefighters. But knowing what volunteer went to a call, we have to rely on the chiefs. That's the report I've been asking for.
But they're not responding because they're not going on the call. They can't go on the call. So why respond? Why would you get out of bed to go on a call at 2 in the morning when you can't respond?
And I understand. So what you're saying is the volunteers aren't coming out helping. That's what you just said.
Yeah.
Okay. Nope.
But isn't it true that if they do, you have, in the firehouses, there's a sign up, and you can go in and say,
does it anymore.
No? They don't even write that down of who was at the scene or anything?
No, people aren't going.
Okay.
I would really love a report from the fire departments of what they're doing. And it's a positive thing because they do come out because you do say they do the training. And then in that report, they can say, nope, they did go to the call, but two paid firefighters went, so they were called off or however you guys dismissed them.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's important, too.
I agree with everything you say. Just that one number about the number of volunteers that are able to respond, I think that number is skewed because I talk to these EMTs from every station that they're not going on these calls singly because they know they can't respond. So they're just going, they're getting up for no reason.
And I'm not disagreeing with you.
So that's why the number, it's a hard number to put that to fact bases other than when do we need to call out of town. Anything else, Karen?
No.
Thank you very much. Report from Animal Control. Commissioner Callahan?
I have nothing to add to Lieutenant.
Thank you. Report from the Police Department Liaison. Commissioner Gillette?
July stats for the PD, total calls were 990, infractions were 32, juvenile summons 1, misdemeanor 7, written warnings 115, total citations 155. That's all.
Thank you very much. Report from the building department. Liaison, Commissioner Stewart.
No report.
Thank you very much. Remarks from the fire chiefs. Good evening, Chief Truex.
Good evening. Keith Truex, Chief of the Chesterfield Fire Company. So first, the report that you emailed out a couple months ago, is that one?
I am put in the middle. So I got yours. I'm doing right smack from dispatch.
Okay.
And I'm sure maybe if I'm wrong, someone can call me out on it.
Wanted to know because last month I had commented on some issues with it, but I'm not going to go into that if we're not using this anymore. But I will address the mutual aid into town. So there's a lot of factors that go into it. Are we out on a major call? Like a couple months ago, we had the fire at the DW Holding building, and there were three ambulance calls that came in. And I was incident command for the DW Holding call, and I told dispatch, send every one of those to the Mohegan Tribe. That now becomes a mutual aid coming into town. Why? Because I've got everybody already all tied up. We're not going to try to get an ambulance out driving over fire hose, things like that. It was just easier, hey, have the Mohegan Tribe handle it. If it was on the other side of town, it would have been either Salem Gardner Lake or East Lyme that I would have had dispatch send the call to. But again, that's because we were tied up handling a major call in town. So, you know, when you say, well, is one too many? Well, what are the factors that caused us to request mutual aid? And that changes every single call. Like I said, there was three at the did it just that one day, that one incident, that few hours, we had three of them, one right on top of the other, that, you know, by the way we're counting, that goes against us if we're counting these as negatives. There were three check marks against us right in a row because we brought in mutual aid, but it was the right thing to do at the time. So mutual aid isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's dependent on why and how it's used.
I just want to I will get more detail on my next report so we know why. It's just so we know if we had six or seven coming in, why did they come in? Because all of these were, there was something going on this day at DW. So that should clear that up for you.
Okay, I'm just saying is, you know, you can't set a specific number and say, this number's too many, because it depends on that's I'm just trying to say that is why. Now, the paid versus volunteer going on the ambulance, as Chairman Murphy said, the volunteers just aren't going when there's two paid guys already that have to go on it. If the call warrants, you know, having more than one technician in the back, then by all means, we get in there. The other night, had a difficulty breathing in my response area. I responded, the paid guys responded on the ambulance, and once the patient was in, hey, do you need additional help? No, you're all set, okay. They took the patient to the hospital and I went home because what am I gonna do? I'm just gonna sit there one of us is gonna sit in the passenger seat or sit in the back and really not have a lot to do, and somebody's going to drive.
And that's perfect. That's exactly what I'm looking for. So if I reported this number, and it's like, I did not say it was paid or volunteer coming out. I do have the numbers, but I didn't say them. I can sit here and go, okay, yeah, these numbers came out, but I had a report from Chesterfield, and Chief Truex, he went to that, but so a volunteer did go to it, But we know that two people ride on the ambulance.
But I can tell you, like Chairman Murphy said, we are seeing a lot less volunteers come out because they know that if there's only one of them, there's no point in them going because the two paid guys have to stay together. One of them can't go, okay, I can go back to the station and be at the station in case another call comes in. So why does the volunteer want to get up at 2 a.m. just to go to the call to come back home?
But I can tell you, these numbers that I'm getting are not to make anybody look bad.
Nobody said you were.
Okay.
I'm just explaining the feedback that I, as one of the chiefs in town, are getting on why people aren't going. Mm-hmm. And not just from members of my department. I'm getting this feedback from the other departments as well. Is
I don't think you'd find any chief that would stand here where you are and say, I don't have a problem.
I agree we have.
I don't believe they would do that. I don't believe they would do that. But the peace of mind knowing, and I think they would agree with this also, is by having the paid firefighters, career staff that we have, handling these calls is what is making the big, it's making the difference. We would never be able to do this without the paid staff.
I agree.
But to have them.
I don't
disagree
with that.
So what is the issue?
Nothing. There's no issue.
Oh, there's issues.
What's the issue?
I'm not quite sure, but there are issues. You need to ask people. There are issues.
Is the issue on. Is the issue that the paid guys don't want to go on
there
the call?
There are issues, and I cannot be the only one that
is
knows.
Is there an
this.
Issue that the volunteers need more of an incentive?
It's not. That is not going to make 1 ounce of difference in incentive if paid firefighters are going on the call. The paid guys, that, well, I'll give you a, they work down at Chesterfield. There's a call in Oakdale. Comes in at 3 o'clock in the morning, okay? They're already on the road. They've already been on the road for 5 minutes before a volunteer even makes it to Oakdale to get it, to get the ambulance. So now the guys, the paid guys, well, they could already be on scene in 5 minutes in some areas. So what do you do? Send them back, and then the other guys in the ambulance say, well, I'll go down and get it? It doesn't work that way. They're not going to do that. And, you know, if we just look at the amount of calls that we have for the same person, a month. Some of people in this town are using our in the ambulance are being called for 5, 10, 15 times a month. The same person. The slip and falls. Reported, not reported with an injury. Unknown if injuries. And we send an ambulance every single time out to it. It's not reported with an injury.
And
the slip and falls, I don't understand it. I do not understand why we have it. You know, Chief Platt, I just see him sitting in the back reminding me. He used to always say, I hate when they say a possible structure fire. He hated that word, possible structure fire. It either is or it isn't a structure fire. Same thing when somebody's injured. You're either injured or you're not. If you're not injured, don't call us. That's how I look at it. I'm sorry. Maybe it's just old school.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And the call volume right now, I think we are running about 300 calls ahead of where we were this time last year. 300 calls.
I think it all just matters, too, because I know someone who, if she was by herself and fell, she can't get up and can't reach any of us, you know, because we're not available or whatever. She has to call, and it's a fall, you know, whether she has a broken bone or not. Otherwise, she's laying in her house by herself for hours until she can get a hold of somebody who can get to her house. So, you know, I mean, I think it's kind of a, I understand what you're saying. The other day, we had the same call to the same person just each day. And it was both at 7:30 at night. It was the same person the day before and then the next day. And it's that kind of a thing that I think. And then all the lift assists, I agree, are just.
How do you can't say.
No, you can't.
But you can't say no. Of course not. Well, that's what I'm saying. I know somebody who would benefit from that if at the same time she tried to call other people and couldn't get them. She has to call the ambulance.
Yeah, we've been to, it's a lift assist, and you get there and it's a diabetic emergency or it's a stroke.
You don't know.
Or possible stroke.
Right.
So
right.
You can't go, it's a lift assist,
oh,
too bad.
Right.
No, I'm
so
not
right.
saying don't respond.
Oh, right. I'm not saying not to respond either.
No,
I'm just saying it's crazy how you have so many of those, and then the next call comes in, and it's a motorcycle accident, you know, and it's just like, now what do you, now you got to find and scramble to another firehouse to try to get there.
And if we don't have enough, we should hire more firefighters.
Yeah, I get it. I get that.
Well, you know, and to what you say, Karen, there is some validity to that, and there is not validity to that either. Do we need more firefighters to do 70% of our calls being EMS, or do we need more EMTs? I mean, let's cut to the chase here. Let's cut to the chase. 70% of the calls in this town are EMS.
A little bit more than that, I believe.
Not fire. Not fire.
I hear you.
So why are we hiring $120,000 a year firefighters when we could hire per diem EMTs at $23 an hour?
Well, I think a lot of the firefighters have the back,
maybe,
have the
maybe
training anyway
it's
for
something,
EMT.
Maybe it's something we should be looking at. Maybe it's something we should be looking at. That's all I'm going to say.
So is that like having a separate EMT?
No, they could be part of the town.
They could be town employees. But the bottom line is, when you look at the cost, look at the shift to hire one shift of firefighters in this town, one shift, probably about, I think I did the math, it was $900,000 a year for one shift of firefighters. Almost $1 million, close to a mill worth of taxes. If you can do the same thing with EMTs at one quarter or a third of the cost, why are we not looking at it to handle 70% of the call?
Well, we should talk about it.
I
think we have a hard time hiring people.
I don't.
There's a shortage out there.
Pardon?
We know that. There's a shortage.
A shortage of what?
Firefighters.
I said EMTs. I didn't say firefighters.
No,
I said
you
EMTs.
Did see. See.
There's certainly plenty of them to go around.
So
the other question, real quick, you were talking about mutual aid. Are you counting on your calls how many times we go out of town on mutual aid as well?
7. Yes.
So basically, that took 2 of our firefighters away from the town.
Absolutely.
Okay. So we've got to cover that now. And if 2 of them go on another call, now we got nobody.
Okay. So the other thing. So you're talking, when you said 120,000, you're talking the whole benefit package,
yeah.
Everything
yeah.
included.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
to make
and
that
I believe,
clear.
And I believe when you look at the finance director's report, last I know was 113, and that's what the budget figure was for last year, 113,000 per the finance director that we voted on sitting here at this table, with benefits, complete total package, turnout gear, radio, union president shaking his head yes, and since then there's been a raise. July, there's been a raise. So I assume that that number probably is closer to 120.
115.
All right. How much?
115.
Okay.
Now we're talking 115. So.
Chief, go ahead.
Yep. So.
Sorry.
I also finally finished off on the last of the requests that the other chiefs had as far as the replacement research for M37. They had wanted me to research refurbishment costs versus replacement. And the refurbishment costs came in, and he didn't go through line item by line item. He did chunks because he said it would take about 40 hours to go through every individual thing on that truck to give a really valid. So this is a ballpark, and he said he low-ended it, so it would more likely be more expensive than less than what he gave me. But the ballpark refurbishment cost just to do the truck, not the tools, the radio install, any of that, is $313,000, which is 2/3 of the cost of buying a brand new one. And I've provided that information to the other chiefs, and I'm just waiting on their feedback before I bring it back to this body for further action.
And you said that was just the truck, not the tools. Does the tools from the old one go on to the?
No, that's in the that was in the original price that I brought up that the town council had approved in the capital budget, so that would be covered, but the cost of the tools isn't going to change whether it's refurb or new. So I just did, you know, this is the cost just to refurb the truck. So,
thank you, Chief. Any other chiefs here wish to speak?
Never is.
Number 12, unfinished business. To consider an act on a motion to approve policies to systemize and retain firefighter data, observe trends and effectiveness. I think we beat that together tonight already. Anybody want to comment on that? We'll just move on to next week, next month.
If I could just comment on that.
Yes, sir. Mr. Mayor.
Chairman, that I'm still doing some research on it, and I apologize for the delay, and it will be a little longer. There's more to consider than just the type of programs. There's costs to consider, and user friendliness. A lot of things I've been talking over with IT, as well as with the Fire Marshal's Office and with individuals. So it's got a ways to go, but you know, just bear with me, and we'll get to the bottom of something that's going to be useful.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Fire company radio system upgrades, Commissioner Baker.
I think Lieutenant Radford covered that under his comments. The town council did approve additional funds for moving forward with more of the revisions that need to be made in dispatch. So we're making progress.
Thank you. A, discussions regarding the town of Montville's preparation to respond to a catastrophic emergency like that in Oxford, Connecticut. Chief Stewart had asked me to put that on there. What's that?
New business.
Next page.
Yeah, new business. I mean, not Chief Truex, Chief Stewart. Commissioner Stewart asked me to put this on, so I let him have the floor for a moment.
Well, I just felt it was appropriate to, since it was only a week ago, that the thunderstorms and everything, they're saying 1,000-year, 500-year, whatever, incident that caused all the flooding and washed-out roads, deaths. It just totally disrupted the town. I would hope that the town of Montville is in a better condition to handle this type of stuff, recognizing that I did a little research, but that there's 15 dams or dikes in the town of Montville that are listed on the the state website for dams. And, you know, if some of those were to break and downstream of the dams get washed out, if the the dam on Oxibocksville Lake were to rupture, even though it's relatively new, it's been replaced, everything downstream, you got a lot of trailers down there and near Williams Road. If anything were to happen there, who knows what we're going to do? And I just want to bring this up for discussion, see if there's anything we can do to make the town of Montville safer in that regard. You know, the one that seems kind of funny now, but if the Oxibocksville Brook, again, going down behind the Public Works garage, were to overflow its banks, it could conceivably wipe out the Public Works buildings down there. A 1,000-year flood? Who knows?
I think the last time we had that in this area was 1982. Called it the June monsoon. Because I was working for the town of Waterford at that point. We had a lot of rain in the area. I know we in Waterford lost bridges and roads and everything else, so I assume you guys had the same issues here. But it goes deeper than just the emergency services. It goes, I think that's something we need to talk about with DPW too, what their capabilities would be in case this happens, or water and sewer, or whoever.
Sure. Wouldn't the emergency management?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think maybe,
emergency management,
you know, that we brought this up. Hold on a second, Paul.
Yeah.
That I think, why don't we hold off on it here and ask the emergency management director to come back next month with what the town has now in place.
That's good.
I have some information on that.
I'm sorry?
I have some information on that.
Okay, but I just wanted to make sure you had enough time to take it all in so that you can give us a full report. If you have that, then step on up. If not, wait till next month. I'm good. I think we'd rather have your full thought into this with your assistant there, and, you know, between the two of you, come back and if there's things that you think need to be upgraded, recommendations, that'd be a great time for you to lay it out. I know that you have it, and I know that you're up on your emergency management. I do know that. You know, so, but I just think rather than stand here for a few things, I'd rather you give us some detail.
Okay.
I think that would be great. I think it would help us out a lot.
Perfect.
And I think Commissioner Stewart was on to it, and it is something that should be done.
Sure.
Is that okay with everybody?
Yes.
Yes, definitely.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Paul.
So we'll leave it on the agenda.
We'll leave it on the agenda. Gloria, can you make sure that it gets put back on for next month?
Please. Thank you.
Thanks, Gloria.
Let's see. Item 14, remarks from the public. I want to just bring this up before we used to have it that the had to be a non-item, agenda item, and it was brought up by Matt. And so we checked out with the town clerk, and it was put on our agenda sometime, started like 15 years ago. I don't remember the number she said told us about. Why it was on there, I don't know. So it's been taken off. So we no longer have that issue to worry about. It's now a three-minute limit. You can talk about anything you want. Matt?
Matt Suarez, 18 Cranberry Drive. I just wondering who you guys all spoke to, you know, what EMTs you spoke to at all the departments, because while call volume seems to be down in some places it's not. And, you know, I know I did 30 calls in June, 20-something in July. You know, we got a couple other guys that get out there quite a bit.
Yeah, I know.
So who are we talking to? Because nobody asked me, you know, and I'm pretty sure nobody asked a couple of the other guys in our department. So I, you know, oh, I talked to the EMTs in other departments. Well, who? You know, I just don't know who we were talking to. So I go out, you know, in hopes that somebody else comes out, and sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't, sometimes there's nobody available. Doesn't mean you don't go. So I understand the you know, the general consensus is, oh, you know, there are people out there that won't come out, you know, because they don't want to be left at the scene. Or here's a thought, go out on the call and get in the damn ambulance, you know, and take the call. You know, don't just say, oh, well, the paid guys will take care of it and go home. You know, so, you know, that's all I got.
The other thing I'll say to Matt is, you know, I agree with what you're saying, because there are people like you, Ray Occolini, there are people in each department, Chief Stewart, that do it. We know that. Everybody knows. We hear you guys on the radio. It's all the other people that aren't doing it. So every department has their two or three that go to everything. And don't miss.
You also have to take into account, who do we have to go? I mean, a lot of the membership is down.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's not that people are staying home. It's they don't exist anymore. You know, you know nobody wants to, you know, say that, but I'll fucking, I'll say it.
Matt, that's why I said to the chief, there isn't a chief in this town that would stand here and say it, they don't have a problem.
Yeah.
No, but that's exactly what I want to hear. I want to hear that you did go out there, but I can't get that list that Mohegan sent out 20 volunteers to the calls.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
The chief has
Thank
to
you, Matt.
Take care of that.
So. Thank you. Any other remarks in public?
How difficult would it be to get the four chiefs here? Seems like we get one chief every time.
They all have things to do on Monday nights. They're doing other things.
Yes, I'm sorry, Kim, go ahead.
Kimberly Dole, 19 Sharp Hill Road. I've been to several of these meetings over the last year, and I consistently hear, and I heard it again today, the cost for hiring new staff, the cost for apparatus, all of that sort of thing. So I started kind of looking through and figuring out why we as a town don't get more grants, like many other towns do throughout this state and many other states. And it came to my attention that Montville does not, and this is no slight on anybody, this is what my investigation found out, that Montville does not have a fire department. We have volunteers, and we have four volunteer departments, but we as Montville do not have its own department, and therefore we don't qualify for several federal grants. That's a huge issue, because that's ways we can save money, hiring new staff, hiring, getting apparatus and replacing apparatus. And I'll be honest, I don't feel we need all the apparatus we have in this town. We don't use three quarters of it three quarters of the time. But that's a different issue altogether. I am a taxpayer in this town, and there's a lot of money I think that we're losing because, and I don't care if we choose one station and that's our station. I'm not saying we have to build a new station, but somewhere, somehow, we need to figure out how to get this money into our town. I'm tired of hearing about the firemen are the mill, has a mill issue. Because you know what? They work damn hard.
Yeah.
You know, and there are times that, and I take my husband dinner every night and the guys that he works with every time they're there. And there have been many times that they've left to go on calls when there were people at the station that could have taken a call, an ambulance call. And no offense, those the dollars brought in by those ambulances are brought into those stations, not to the town. So the volunteers should be taking those calls since they are taking that money. Again, no slight on anybody. Those are the facts. So these are some of those things you need to look at. And I'm sorry, Mr. Baker, but if you want to bring EMS in here, then who's taking those ambulances? Because right now they're owned by those departments. So are you buying brand new ambulances with our money in town? Just to put a thought in your pocket.
Anybody else wishing to speak?
Gloria, you'll get a copy of this, I promise. John Meagle, Deputy Fire Marshal for the Town of Montville. I just want to really put in that for as far as Wikipedia goes, a mutual aid is an agreement among emergency responders to lend assistance across jurisdictional boundaries, which jurisdictional boundaries are such as Chesterfield going into Montville and other towns going into this. So it's district itself, the boundaries, that's your mutual aid. So if you want to call your mutual aid, even coming out of from out of town, and that's your mutual aid. Now, on a separate note, for tracking calls for service, training, and other things, that's what the ESO program can do. Since we don't really know what the numbers are, they'll be really solid. With ESO, I spoke with them, four separate numbers must be done for each department. Right now, we have one running number in dispatch. According to ESO and NMFRS, which NMFRS we would get the grants from, you know, to report it, we need to have four separate ones, and we're not complying with that. With ESO, you'd be showing peak hours of call volumes, so we'll know when the busyness is, when we get our mutual aids coming in, so that we could know how many people that we need to put on, okay? This also shows paid and volunteer responses, so we'll know who's coming in and how many paid people and what they're doing. So everything will be verified. Volunteers should respond to help pay the paid staff and be available to respond to back-to-back calls. And also a thing that I know we all learned, and especially in school, teamwork. Teamwork is important. If you don't have volunteers out there, get them out there to help the paid guys. No one wants to break their back. The ICE is out there, same thing. We all work as a team. I go out there to help these guys. That's what I do. I don't want anybody getting hurt. And if you discourage your members from coming out, then they're not going to take over the ambulance. We all talk about the volunteers don't show up because they're discouraged because they're paid people. Well, they need to come out so they can take the ambulance. Stop discouraging them. Have them come out, take the ambulance, have the paid guys go back. Okay, you'll be able to verify. And having those volunteers come out, incentives and recruitment, the incentives, there's a lot more incentives than what we have now. Right now, I'm in a volunteer service that pays a very fantastic one, and we have almost 100 members for volunteer service for 55 square miles. We're one of the biggest towns in Connecticut. We should not be relying on mutual aid to respond to our calls. If we need, again, the call volume, then we need to be able to show where we need to hire and how many we need to hire. Mutual aid should not be used as a crutch itself. If the volunteer doesn't come out, you know, we need to get them out. Also, as far as mentioning firefighters and EMTs, you, Mr. Baker, said EMTs is what we should hire. We should be hiring firefighters and EMTs. According to NFPA 1720, we need to crew them properly so that they respond. That's what we need to do. Two in, two out, one person out, one person in command. That's four people on one truck. If you look at 1720, it'll tell you you need to have four people for a suburban area. What we have right now is unacceptable. NMFRS grants would be a great tool, so ESO would report that to them. And Governor.
So
breathe.
No, she can't answer.
No, you did.
You can do it in your your rebuttal.
You did.
I know, we rebuttal it. Okay. Anything else? Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? Do it in your rebuttal, Brian. Tim, good evening.
Good evening, everybody. Timothy Condon, Montville Firefighter Union President, Waterford, Connecticut, 51 Galloping. I just wanted to touch on a couple things real quick. I think there was a lot of really good comments tonight. Listening to everybody, the chief and everybody who's spoken and the panel, about a year ago we asked to put the item on the agenda for data. And the reason for the item on the agenda for data is because all we're getting is anecdotal evidence. The chief will stand up here and say he's seeing less volunteers, which I'm not saying he's wrong, but we need to quantify that. So the data that we've actually been collecting as a union, we started before we went to this, and we've actually seen that there's more volunteer ambulance crews being completed, even though we are together. I don't like the paid versus volunteer stuff. I said last month, we're a combination fire department, and we need to act like a combination fire department. And the fire service, the paid staff, the career staff, is a supplemental force. It's how we were designed. And I think what we're suffering from is that we need a communication model where we all basically acknowledge that things are changing and everybody has a perspective and they want their perspective heard, but we're not basing any of that perspective in data. So what I would highly suggest to this committee is to, we're not getting anything productive here month after month coming and saying the same thing and, you know, getting each other upset. It's time for a new communication model of a subcommittee that, you know, we can sit at a round table like how we had the staffing subcommittee with a strict agenda to keep on target of what it is we're looking. Or we need a new public safety study because our communication is gone. And, you know, I don't disagree. Chairman Baker, or Commissioner Baker's right. You know, a lot of our calls are ambulance. It is our currently responsibility. That is a question that a lot of towns are grappling with, that the perception is that EMTs are cheaper. I've said to, I have great conversation with Chief Messer, and I said, you know, if you think the union is against the conversation, I want to have it because I don't think that it's as rosy as you think it is. And when you start talking to other communities, you're going to find that there's actually a larger EMT shortage, and then towns are actually now competing for higher wages. But I think we need, if this board would entertain either a new public safety study or a new way to communicate where we can really drill down instead of a 3-minute speech at a podium, where we can sit together as equals and talk about this outside of the public eye, where we can talk a little bit more candidly about it and openly. I think that would do everybody a lot of good. Thank you.
Anybody else wishing to speak?
Can I ask you a question, Tim?
Karen.
I can't do that?
No.
I'll ask you a question when it's my turn.
I spoke to Matt, and I shouldn't have done that myself. It's not a conversation time. Anybody else wishing to speak? Anybody else?
Keith Truex, 1046 East Lake Road, Chief of the Chesterfield Fire Company. Just want to clarify that nobody is discouraging, to my knowledge, no one is discouraging volunteers from coming out, certainly not at the chief's level, because if you look at who some of the most frequent people that respond are, you got an assistant chief, you got a chief, you got an assistant chief at Oakdale. Those are the ones you probably hear the most frequently on the radio. So certainly not happening at that level. So I don't know where this came from that we're discouraging people. We're getting feedback that they're discouraged, but not that we're discouraging them. And again, like Assistant Chief Suarez said, it's not everybody. You know, I go,
I'll hear a call that's on this side of town where they're calling for lift assist. They didn't tone Chesterfield. You'll hear M36 coming with MRT tackling. I come over just because we know they need the help. We just do it. So it's not, nobody's being discouraged. It's not that they don't come out. It's like you said, the numbers just aren't there is one of the biggest things. That's it.
Anybody else wishing to speak? Thank you, Chief. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else wishing to speak? Thank you. Remarks from the mayor.
I just want to say a couple things. Over a month ago, I started talking with Commissioner Perkins regarding the reports, and they just weren't making any sense as far as what the activity was. And I said before that back in the day when the police department was trying to show what their activity was, we were counting the calls that weren't met. For our purposes here, calls that aren't met basically are mutual aid. And mutual aid, for our purposes, is when we got a call to an outside agency to respond to a call here for whatever reason that we're unable to. It's one town, it's one department, it should only be one report. How many medical calls we're going to, and you know, you can break them down too if you want to, but when someone calls for help, they need some help, and you should probably call that a medical-related call. Therefore, it's EMS. You know, what you're going to find when you get there, maybe another story. But for our purposes, for what we're trying to do, because you're the ones who recommend the budget to the town council, you need to have some solid information to go by to show what the activity is. Do we need more paid personnel or do we need less? Do we, what, you know, the individual companies, I would encourage them to do reports to show what their activity is, what there is going on in their house, whether it be for training, whether it be for public relations information, or just for helping out the community. I would hope that they would all send their reports, and even if they can't be here, for the chiefs to send in a report so that it can be read from the individual departments. But for our purposes here, for our budget purposes, we need to start looking at what the activity is, and then we compare it over the months and come up with a reasonable assumption of what our needs are. Just give some time, and I think it's going to prove out, and then we'll be able to adjust it, modify it as time goes on. And as far as the reports go, you know, keep in mind that I think it's EM charts that the volunteers have, EM charts.
Yes.
It doesn't cost us anything. The EOS?
ESO.
ESO.
ESO. The ESO, that costs us. They both do the same thing. And I'm considering that, and that'll be passed on when we're done with it. The ordinance that you asked for over a month ago for the authority to declare, we had it at the town council, and for some reason, I'm still not clear why, it was sent back to the town attorney for further review. So I'm going to be asking for a special meeting for the town council to set a date for the public hearing for that ordinance. And basically, that ordinance is just to identify who declares. The animal control facility, as we suspected, there's a lot more things that are being requested of us now. DECD, which is the agency that coordinates it, is asking for a town council resolution now that where we have accepted the money. They also, they're asking for a state historic preservation office to review our old facility, whether or not we should rip it down. So you talk about meddling.
and I'm not criticizing really, but there's a lot of work involved. There's also multiple questionnaires that they're giving us regarding square footage and just basic information, when things were accepted, when they weren't. There's a lot more information going on that they are asking for. I'd like to welcome firefighter Darren Jones. I think he's going to be a tremendous asset to the town. He's got strong family and town values. He's got a lot of experience, a lot of training, and he's going to require a little training to get him on the road. I think he's going to start soon. Right? He's on his own now. See how quick that was? Route 32 paving, that'll be finished up next year on north of Massapequa Road. The striping and the lining will be done this week, weather permitting. I want to thank the compliments from Waterford and from East Lyme, and we were able to provide the mutual aid. It goes to show how strong a department we have and how we've done the right thing in bringing up our numbers in order to help them as they help us, because one hand does wash the other. As far as the building department goes, my error not to fill in you in on the latest and the greatest, but we're through COG. We're going to be hiring a trainee. They will hire the trainee. That person will train, take the state test for the assistant building official, and the person that we've selected should be taking that within a couple months of his training here, and hopefully he'll pass that, and we'll bring him on as the assistant building official. Mm-hmm. But that looks pretty promising. I'm very happy with our selection. Another homegrown boy.
Oh, good.
I'm very, very high on him also. That's about it.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The council liaison's not here. Remarks from the commissioners. Commissioner Gillette.
All set.
Mr. Callahan.
All set. Thank you.
Commissioner Baker.
The deputy fire marshal did state that 1720, as does 1710, requires two. Deputy Fire Marshal did state that 1720 requires two in and two out. I don't know how many towns staff the way ours is, including Waterford, can even guarantee that. We know it. You know it.
1710, 1720
are two. I know. 1710 is for career, 1720 is combination.
1710 is
ball. Okay, it's okay. Thank
Whatever. So you're right, excuse me. So we're doing the best we can. Also, I don't know about you guys, you're in the Linden County Department, I believe, correct? Or no, are you Wyndham? London? All right, so every year, I know when I was chief, we signed an agreement, every department in New London County signed an agreement that we would provide mutual aid to our neighbors to the best of our ability. So I think that's a key word, best of our ability. There's going to be times we're available to do that, and there's going to be times when we're not. Plain and simple, depending on what we're doing, what we're tied up with. So we do it to the best of our ability. And as far as ambulances go and who's staffing them, to me, would it really make a difference? Because your career firefighters now are staffing ambulances that are owned by the fire departments. What's the difference if a per diem EMT did it? As long as they're a town employee, it makes no difference. They're town employees. So no, we would not have to buy new ambulances. So I don't know. I understand what you're saying. But to me, it makes no difference. Also, back on August 4th, hang on, let me bring this up because I didn't write it down. Give me 2 seconds if you would, Gary. August 4th, they had another drill in the town, water supply drill, and I saw the deputy fire marshal there. He was driving one of the tankers, and it was down at the Public Works Department, and they were working on doing water shuttles with tankers to supply one of the Montville engines as far as fire flow goes. And other than the town fire departments, there were departments, there was Ledger was there, Yannick was there, Laurel Hill was there, Old Lyme, Gardner Lake, And there was about a total of 30 people from my count, somewhere right around there, that were involved. So I'm glad to see that we're working as a team in the town to do this. And I'm also glad to see that our mutual aid partners are involved, because as Commissioner Murphy said, we had the DW deal down here, and there was a lot of mutual aid companies involved in that, with tankers and doing water supply and everything else. So it only shows that we're practicing as much as we can to prepare for the worst. And again, thank you guys, everyone who provides service to this town on an emergency basis, our career, our volunteer, our police. I know I appreciate what you do, and thank you so much.
Thank you. Commissioner Perkins?
I want to just thank Firefighter Jones. Glad he's on his own now, working for the town. Also, thank you, Deputy Fire Marshal. Thank you for getting up, speaking, and every month, do what you got to do when you got to get up here. I also, the last part that you were talking about regarding the training, Commissioner Baker, is exactly what I'm looking for from the chiefs. That is a report that should be sent to you guys, or it should be presented, of what's going on with the firehouses. Whoever was in charge of doing that training, that would have been awesome just to report back. I thank the firefighters. I thank the volunteer. It's a holiday weekend coming up. I'm on vacation this week, really, anyway, so good luck, and that's all I have.
Thank you. Commissioner Stewart?
Once again, it's nice to hear that the mutual aid is being given, to Waterford and East Lyme by the PD. Letters are always good to hear. And I fully agree with Firefighter Congdon on the idea that we have a sit-down meeting to try and resolve these problems, get the information out there, and make it fun. Have a good weekend. Be safe.
Can I also say one thing? Sorry. I do appreciate, Chief Truex, that you do come to these meetings. I'm sorry if we are, or if I look at you all the time when I have something to say, but at least you can give me some input because you are chief. I just wanted to say that. I don't want to leave him out.
That's Thank you. Commissioner Bauer?
Nothing additional.
The only thing I want to say is, you look around the other towns that were here, there are five firefighters in Waterford. There's four in East Lyme, two in Bossier, two in Salem. And these towns all have the same problems that Montville has. There isn't a volunteer department, and I know what John just said. I don't believe there isn't a volunteer department in this state, in this country, that doesn't have an issue with volunteers. And I can remember the days when we had 20 and 30 guys that would show up at a single car accident. I mean, those days are long gone. And we have to do the best that we have. And I know that the paid firefighters, or the career staff, I hate to say paid, the career staff do an absolute wonderful job. I have no issues with them. Most of them, a lot of them started in Oakdale. A lot of career firefighters have come through the town of Montville and moved on to career departments. They do an outstanding job every day. It's a lot of work. I get it. I really do. But I'm a taxpayer also. I have health issues. People in my family have health issues. Do you know what? I stand by that every single day, that the people that we have are doing the job. If the job was not getting done to my satisfaction, I'd be the first one standing up here screaming. And right now, I feel it's up to par. Can it be better? Absolutely. Are the calls being gone unanswered? Not that I know of. Yeah, they may be delayed a little bit. Somebody may get a 20-minute, 25-minute ambulance call. Yeah, it happens, because you have to run an ambulance from across town all the way to the other side of town. That stuff happens. It happens everywhere. How many times, you look at how many times Waterford goes to New London, to the city of New London. They're constantly in there with their fire trucks and ambulances, constantly. It happens. And, every department has their two, three, or four people that they rely on. And when there's not those two, three, and four people unavailable every single hour of the day, And when they're not there, that's when we have a problem. You know, I can only speak, I know of, for Oakdale. That since 2012, we've pretty much have taken in over $2 million in grants from the federal government. We've gotten air tanks, grants, evac system for the fire truck to the exhaust system, grant. The washing machine, firefighters wash their gear in it, grant. We have training grants. We are out there, I can only speak from Oakdale, we are out there constantly putting in grants for equipment. The firefighter grant is good when you hire firefighters, it's good for 5 years. The government will help you pay their salaries over a five-year period. And at the end of that 5 years, guess what? You own them. So at 5 years, you're going to get a massive bill for firefighters that you hire under the grant program. So, I mean, everything has a downside. Those are just some things we have to remember. We're not the only town facing this issue. As even the little towns, like I said, Basra, Salem, are putting people on Lisbon. They all have three people working there. So, you know, it's not a good situation that we're in. But I do think I have a lot of respect for police officers, firefighters. I don't care what color your uniform is. You guys do an outstanding job. You put your life on the line every single day, every minute that you're on the job. And even when you're off the job, you put your life on the line because you would be the first one. Anybody sitting out here would be the first ones to jump into a fire, a car wreck, any incident that you see. You would do it. I know you would. And I appreciate that, and I think the public appreciates what you do. Well, at least I hope they do. And I don't think that the volunteers that I know of are discouraging people from volunteering. I think the volunteers have become discouraged. We're spending a lot of time and a lot of energy trying to get people to work, and the incentives that the town of Montville has put out, tax abatements, paycheck, you know, pay. You can get your taxes on your car paid, your home taxes. You can get your own, your regular pay. The town is willing to shell it out, and it doesn't seem to really make a difference. I really feel, my personal opinion is when the firefighters went to two men per station was really the start of making it a lot worse. I understand why they did it. I really do. I get it. But we weren't able, I think it's gone down from there. And I'm not against the pay guys, getting two guys per staff. I think that's wonderful because it's for your safety. But look what's happened since then. And I think we have to adjust to that over time. How we'd get there, I don't know. But we will get there. With that, I'm going to call for a motion to adjourn.
Make a motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you.